Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we worship you, we adore you, we honor you, we magnify you, because you really are worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, you are worthy. So Lord, we thank you for your presence. We know you are already here. So we pray that you would just show yourself strong and mighty. Clean us up from our sins, thoughts, deed, word, that which we have done outside of your will. But we thank you for that amazing promise that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us. So Lord, just have your way. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his finished work on Calvary. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ and our soon to come reigning King. We do pray and say amen. 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 What a joy, what a delight it is to be alive. As years begin to pile on top of each other, you don't take anything for granted. Some family right now is preparing funeral arrangements for a loved one, but yet we are here, and we thank God for that. I want to invite you to look at with me Genesis chapter 6, and I would like to read in your hearing verses 5 through 9. In Genesis chapter 6, this is what it says. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of man, human race, had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. I want to preach for a few moments from the theme, Walking with God in a Wicked and Twisted World. One only has to be a casual observer of the headlines to know that we are living in some wicked and twisted days. You may be a news junkie or someone who just follows a little bit, but our days are pretty wicked and twisted. Am I the only one that sees that, or is it? Yeah, it's pretty wicked and pretty twisted, and the 24-hour news cycle, that's their job, so they're always reporting something that's dismal and despair. But at the same time, we know that it's much of it is true. But then, it's really nothing new, according to Genesis chapter 6. Man's been wicked and evil and thinking twisted and perverse for some time. But the good news is that in spite of all of that, that God still shows up with his hand reached down to man and extends his hand of grace to man. In spite of all that you see and hear, God's grace still prevails. That's good news, because it was pretty wicked. It was dismal, much despair. But God's grace showed up. And the good news is that God's grace is still showing up. Isn't it good to know that the same God that extended grace then is the same God that is extending grace now? I don't know about you, but that gives me reason to celebrate, because that means that his eyes, his gaze is still on us, despite man and his evil and wicked ways. God's amazing grace. If we're going to walk with God in twisted and wicked days, I would suggest to you that you daily thank God for his amazing grace. Okay, see, I'm gonna pull this thing, so work with me. Grace is God's unmerited favor toward us. In other words, what we don't deserve, God gives it to us. Grace is a reflection of a God showing his love toward those who don't deserve it. God's saving grace, and then we have God's common grace. Common grace is the sun shines on the just as well as the unjust. He makes his grace available to those who are not even thinking about him. And then we have his saving grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's good news. That we get to operate and live daily under the grace of God. Let me see if I can make this live a little bit. It was grace that woke you up this morning. It wasn't the alarm clock. It had nothing to do with how physically fit you are. But it was God's grace that blew on you once again, and you were able to open your eyes once again in the land of the living. It's God's grace who helped you overcome that addiction. It's God's grace that helped you they saw something suspicious on your lungs. And they had you come in, and they did a MRI, and they did tests, and they discovered that it was not malignant, but it was benign. And if it was malignant, you went through treatment, God's grace, and he brought you out. Oh, come on, y'all. I mean, it's God's grace is amazing. And see, here's the problem. Many of us don't think it is. We have so taken for granted the grace of God, we've been so blinded by his blessings that we don't even give it a second thought. We act like we're supposed to get up, clothed in our right mind, enjoying the movement of our limbs, but it was nothing but God's grace that's been keeping you. And it's no longer amazing. We just take it for granted, like we're supposed to have stuff, like you entitled to it. Really? God's grace is amazing. That's why my first point is to daily thank God for his amazing grace. Because if you're not careful, you begin just to take it for granted. Like you're supposed to have it. Like you're supposed to get it. The devil's a liar. That's not the case. It's God giving us his favor. And that's what Noah experienced. In evil and wicked times, amid all that was going on, Noah was able to experience the grace of God. All around you, evil is taking place, day in and day out. But yet, God's grace has kept you safe from danger seen and unseen. If for no other reason, you should have a smile on your face the moment you wake up. Because all night, all days, God's had angels watching over you and protecting you and giving us what we do not deserve. All of us should have a grace story that we could trace. We could give out the mic and just let everyone begin to talk about how grace has impacted their life. I thought I was going to lose my family, but grace showed up. I thought I was going to lose my home, but grace showed up. I thought I was going to lose my job. Grace keeps showing up. Every time I turn around, the Lord keeps blessing me and you. And even when things don't go according to plan, somehow the Lord whispers in my ear, "Nix, I got grace for that." Why are you stressing? Why are you staying up all night? Don't you know who I am? And he begins to dispense grace. And the least I can do is thank him for his grace. Lord, Daddy, I know you didn't have to do it. I know things could have went the other way. But you keep on blessing me and showing me your grace. And then it gets even better when he says that the eyes of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord were on Brother Noah. Isn't that amazing? That you and I are under the constant gaze of God. That's good and bad, because some stuff you wish he didn't see. But the fact of the matter is, it says that, but Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Which tells me that the Lord is watching you and I, and he knows what we stand in need of. And that's when grace begins to show up. The eyes of the Lord were on him. He was under the constant gaze of God. Job 34:21 says, God's eyes are on the ways of man, and he sees all of his steps. I'm glad we have a God who's keeping his eyes, his gaze on us and able to give us what we need in spite of ourselves. So how should we respond to this disgrace? What should we do? Well, first of all, again, we should thank him and let him know that we are mindful of it and we appreciate the grace that he extends to us. Then be a mouthpiece. Share with others what the grace of God has done in our lives. It's no time to be silent and sit on the praises that God has done. God has opened doors for you, grace. God has kept your family, grace. God has done amazing things in our lives, and we sit down on it and don't tell a soul. Time out for undercover Christians. He's been too good too long. You sitting there pompous and proud like a peacock. No, no. Tell somebody what the Lord has done. He's been too good for too long. And you all comfortable and acting like you should have got what you got. No. Thank God for his grace. Tell somebody. Tell them kids how you've been paying them tuition bills and picking them up from school, got a car, got a roof over your head. They look in the refrigerator and say, we don't have no food, and the doggone thing is full. Baby, it's grace. I wish it was because I'm so smart. I wish it because I'm the major bread. That has nothing to do with it. Whole lot of folk got plenty of sense and education and job and broke and crazy. All right, see, that's, let me move. Share what the Lord is doing. Let others know about how his grace is working in your life. And then there's something else. It says that Noah, watch this, was a righteous man and blameless among the people of his time. Don't run by that too fast. It says he was righteous and blameless. Remember, he was living during what was known as the antediluvian period. That's just a big word to mean it was before the flood. And it was total debauchery. The depravity of man was so strong that God said, I've had enough. I'm going to clean the slate and get rid of all of you. Crawling things, creatures, got to go. Antediluvian, it was a wicked time. But Noah was righteous and blameless. Interesting, righteous. It means that he did that which was right in the face of God. Noah made it his aim that despite what he saw and despite how others were acting and behaving, he said, no, I'm going to follow God's commands. I'm going to do what God said to do. He was a righteous man. He was a man, beloved, that had character. Oh, it's going to get quiet now. Because character and integrity are sorely missing these days. We get excited over people because of their talents, how much money they make, where they live at, their zip code, where their pedigree is, where they went to school, fine. But you can have all that and be a rascal and know nothing about integrity or character. As a child of God, he's saying, you ought to have some Christian character. And my Christian character shows up the moment I begin to trust the Lord Jesus Christ with my life. That's my beginning of Christian character. It's amazing, isn't it? Character doesn't matter anymore. Folk just say, well, you know, we're only human, and you know, what? Yeah, we are only human, I got that. But don't you know that he expects more of us as believers? He wants us to walk in Christian character? And we side with those who have nothing to do with Christian character or integrity, and we think it's all right. The devil is a liar. He said in Romans, and be not conformed to this world, and be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is not okay to just act any way you want, do what you want, say what you want, and think it's okay, and then you got folk following you. No. No, I'm following what Jesus said. I want to line up with what he said. It amazes me. Right is now wrong and wrong is right. Who are you following? Whose report do you believe?
Let me get some emails on that one.
Christian character. It's important, beloved. It's something that you and I, in Galatians, you want to know what Christian character ought to look like? Galatians chapter 5, verses 23 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. If you want to know what Christian character should look like, start with Galatians and start meditating on those things. If you want to know, because your question is a good one. Well, how do I get Christian? How do I get this character? Well, it's something that you're always working on. You never arrive at it. You're always getting better with it, but you have to have a heart and desire to want to do better, to want to draw closer to Him. Character. And this is another way that He develops character in us. ABCs. Adversity builds character. Ain't trying to be cute, but that's, think about it. Your adversity, the stuff you catch, the stuff you run up against, has a way of building your character. So stop whining. Stop acting like, woe is me. Your posture should be, Lord, I know you with me. You're going to give me grace for this. I know this is your purposeful. This is no accident, no strange twist of fate. You have me going through this because you're developing character in me. It's painful. Yes, it hurts, but you got to go through it. Listen, can you imagine what Brother Noah went through, what his day was like? I play my imagination sometime, and I said, I'm like, of all of the people, he was the only one? I mean, that was, I'm like, Lord, he was righteous. You know, can you imagine? He gets home, baby, how was your day? Child, it was on me today. It almost got me. Temptation was on me, but the Lord was faithful and He got me through. He had to deal with the evil all day long. Now, look, it says in verse 11, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. You see that? This brother was righteous with all that going on. God saw how corrupt the earth was. Had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence. Because of them, I'm going to destroy both them and the earth. And it said, but Noah was righteous. Which is to suggest that if Noah could be righteous with all the mess he was dealing with, then there's no reason why you and I cannot walk with righteousness, with what we compared to what he dealt with. We kind of in light potato. I mean, it was really bad then. But that does not ignore the fact that you and I still have to deal with evil day in and day out. It's in our face all the time. We're always being tempted by the enemy. He always wants to have us fall and go contrary to God's will and God's way. Noah, the brother, was righteous. He held on to his Christian character. It mattered to him. But not only that, he was also a man of, he was blameless. In other words, his neighbors could look at him and they couldn't blame anything or put anything on him. Isn't that something? I mean, his walk was so tight that if they said, tell us about Noah, for real. I ain't got nothing to tell you other than, you know, that's a heck of a testimony. That not even his neighbors could probably say anything negative or bad about him. He was, in other words, integrity. It's when your behavior matches our beliefs. It's when what you say and what you do match up. It's when you have integrity when your private life and your public life are aligned. Integrity. And you know what? people are desperate to see folks with character and integrity. Because we don't see it enough to appreciate it. It's amazing how folks like that tend to have people want to gravitate toward them. Character, integrity. Let me see if I can make it live a little bit. North Avenue, the church is, faith is going to North Avenue and you're feeding folks. Don't you know that's a sign of Christian character? I mean, you may take it lightly, like, well, you ain't no big thing. No, it is a big thing. It's a major thing because the Lord is leaning in. And see there, that's, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. When you're showing that kind of love, that's Christian character. That's integrity. You're doing something that you don't have to do. You're not looking to get anything back in return. You're just honoring the Lord with your efforts. And he smiles on that kind of activity. Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15 says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. It's a blessing. Jesus had much integrity. In fact, in Matthew, it says that the Herodians, they came and they said, teacher, they said, we know that you are a man of integrity, that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and you are swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Jesus demonstrated great integrity. And if we are his children, you know, an apple shouldn't fall far from the tree. We should begin to mirror and to model the ministry of Jesus. He was righteous and he was blameless. In 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, we get a snapshot of what integrity looks like. It gives us something that we can hold on to as we, again, look at this whole idea of practicing integrity in our everyday lives, because we make choices every day. And the question is, where are you going to fall on it? Your way, his way? Scripture? What you think is best? So what does this integrity look like? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. So if you want to know what integrity looks like, hang out here for a season and just begin to meditate on how you and I can live lives of integrity to bring honor to the Lord. Why should I strive to be a person of integrity? Psalm 119:1 says, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. In Proverbs 20:7, it says, the godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children after them. Isn't that amazing? They're making a connection between how parents handle integrity in the home. He's saying your children benefit from you living a life of integrity. Isn't that amazing? My father passed at the age of 81 from prostate cancer. He served in ministry up to the end. But one thing I remember most about him that I will always admire and it gives me something to strive for is that he was a man of great integrity. That meant a lot to my brother and my sister because we lived in a small row house in West Baltimore and it was about 19 row houses on our street. And during that time, most of the men were men of integrity. They all worked. They all took care of their families. That's what I grew up watching day in and day out. So I was able to get a snapshot of what integrity looked like early in life. That's the only thing I began. You don't hit women. You go to work. You take care of your family. You do this, you do that. To me, that was integrity being lived out. And as a result, it impacted how we live. Because that was the imprint, the image that I got day in and day out from a youngster all the way up to about 19, 20 years old. That's what I saw every day. And they made an imprint. They made an impression. When you are a person of integrity, you make an impression on those who are around you. Because you are living upright. You're living and walking in truth. Your word is your bond. If you say you're going to do something, you do it. Even when it's painful, even when it hurts. Last day. It says that Noah walked faithfully. It says that Noah walked faithfully with God. Beloved, you can also walk faithfully with God. Noah made a decision that in spite of what he saw day in and day out, that he would decide intentionally to walk faithfully with God. Walking faithfully with God, it starts with obviously salvation. You need to be born again. You need to know Christ as Lord and Savior. But then it becomes a question of intentionality. I really want to, Lord, I really want to walk with you. It's when you bring in the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need your help with this because I really want to walk closer with the Master. I want to walk closer with the Lord. So it begins with confessing Christ, and then you purpose in your heart and mind that you are going to walk with the Lord. There's something I've discovered about walking with the Lord for a minute now. What I discovered about walking with the Lord is that he doesn't leave me. Sometimes I'm a little slow, don't quite get it, and he waits for me. When I walk close with the Lord, I'm in communion with the Lord. That's all he was saying. I want to enjoy communion with the Lord. I want to experience his presence. I want to be able to lean into him when difficulties come into my life. When I walk close to the Lord, I realize I keep my sins account short because I know something about repentance. I'm turning from some things and I'm changing my mind. When I walk close to the Lord, he convicts me of some stuff I ought not be doing. Something about walking close to the Lord and staying near him. When I walk with him, I discovered he gives me strength. Yeah, when I stay close to the Lord, I'm able to recount the precious promises that he's made. There's something about walking close to the Lord. When you begin your day with private devotions, that's a sign of me walking close with the Lord. When I do go through scripture memorization and nurse the word, I'm growing closer. As I serve him, I'm walking with him. There's so many ways that we can walk with the Lord. I suggest you discover the best way for you. And you begin to practice walking with the Lord. Praise and worship will cause you to get excited and do something to your walk with the Lord. It's within reach walking with Him. And the best way to walk with Him is to get to know Him. And if you're here today and you do not know Him, the pardon of your sin, you can today get to walk with Jesus. You can confess Him as Lord and Savior of your life. All you've got to do is say, Lord, I surrender unto You. I confess I've been trying to do it my way and my way's not working, but I want to rely and trust You with my life. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Beloved, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You can come to Jesus Christ just as you are. And if you don't know Him and the free pardon of your sin, I bid you to talk with one of us before you leave here, and we'll walk with you through God's plan of salvation. We want to see you saved. We want to see you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Listen, time is winding up, you know, and you're only one heartbeat away from eternity. And you have to decide while you're in the land of the living what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. You either accept Him or you reject Him. You can come to Him with all of your hurts, your hang-ups. Listen, all of us in here have done some stuff. Well, okay, I've done some stuff that I'm not proud of, and it ain't none of your business. But we all have. And Christ is saying, come. Come just as you are. And I will, once you let Him catch you, then He begins to clean you up. But listen, if you think you can clean yourself up, you're already in trouble. Because see, I know that if you could have cleaned yourself up, you would have did it a long time ago. But because you haven't, means that you can't. He's got wonder-working power available to you.
Can you hear?